Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Watchmen on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Warren, Ohio. Turn your radio on, clean your ears out, and listen to what's going on in our world today. We know already from the year 30 AD until 2021, the king is coming back. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back to this earth. He's been gone for 2,000 years, and now we at the end of the 2,000 years, and he's getting ready to come back to get the church, getting ready to set up the seventh week spoken by Daniel the prophet. The Antichrist is alive now. The Jews
Amen.
In the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, they still don't know exactly where it's at, but they're going to find it before they can finish the temple. They got to have the Ark of the Covenant. That's an Old Testament that linked up with Moses during the time of Mount Sinai. They made the Ark of the Covenant about 5,000 years ago. They made this Ark of the Covenant where God could abode in the wilderness. That Ark represents the presence of God, and it was lost during the time of the Babylonian captivity. And the Jews are looking for it, and they are going to find it because God is going to provide them for everything they need to orchestrate this new temple and get it set up for the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is going to okay it. He's going to make a covenant with Israel and say, yes, you can build your temple. You can go back to the old judicial Judaism. You can offer animals and sacrifices. And the Jews are going to believe that because this Antichrist is going to permit them to do this, they think it's actually Jesus Christ. But it's not Jesus Christ. It's the Antichrist. It's the son of perdition. It's the wicked one. It's Satan's tool. Satan's going to use this man's body to orchestrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the middle of the tribulation period. This is Bible. This is not some guesswork. This is Bible. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. This Antichrist is going to come back to life. And he's going to tell the world he is God Almighty. And he's going to desecrate the temple. When he desecrates that temple, he's going to set in the most holy place. He's going to remove the Ark of the Covenant and consider himself to be God Almighty. And that's in the middle of the tribulation in which the mark of the beast will start and end up with the 3.5 years after the second coming of Jesus Christ. Man, we are so close.
Amen.
We're so close.
Amen.
I don't know how to express. I know I got it together, but it's so much that them past, so much is happening now, and so much more that's happening, and it's happening right in front of our eyes. And what I'm concerned about is the preachers. Where's the preachers at? Where is the so-called pop? Amen. That's going to tell us about these things getting ready to happen up on the earth, because actually, absolutely, Jesus Christ is getting ready to rapture the church. He's almost there. Just a few more minor adjustments going to be made, and then we're going to be out of here. The body of Christ will be gone in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ will rise, and those that's in the grave is going to drop off mortal body and put on immortality.
That's right.
He said it is written, oh, death, where is the sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This is God coming into you with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I got Brother Tim right behind me. Amen. He's down there in Texas. Amen. He's going to be walking and talking the word of God. He's going to be explaining some scriptures to you. I'm going to be explaining some scriptures to you. So turn your radio loud. Go get your friend next door today. Go get your dog cat. Amen. Get everything that can hear, listen, and see. Because we got some stuff to tell you from where?
That's right.
From the word of God, not from the newspaper. Not from no Jet magazine, not from Ebony, not from no Playboy, or not from no Penthouse. Woo! We're coming for the word of God. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come
Amen.
Back to the earth. I have no shadow of a doubt. Amen. I'll stand in the middle of the street if it would do any good and announce it, because somebody will probably run over me, because that's how crazy people are today. They don't want to hear
Amen.
The word of God. They can talk about anything else, but when you talk about the word of God, they're going to throw stones and rocks and bricks and boulders at you, because Jesus Christ said in the last day there's going to be a great falling away, and it's here. is here.
Yes.
People are falling away from the cross of Jesus Christ. They're falling away from the love of God. Everything that's pertaining to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, people don't want to hear. But we're here tonight to tell you something that's going to curl your hair. You don't have to worry about going down to the dresser to get your hair curled. Amen. You don't have to worry about getting your fingernail polished or whatever you're going to do, get your hair cut. We got something to you to do all that for your soul to get you straight, to let you know there's a day coming when the rapture of the church is going to occur. Those that don't know Jesus Christ are going to be left here. And we ain't going to go no further. I'm going to have prayer right now, and then Brother Tim going to come on in, and he's going to rock the boat. Amen. He's going to rock the boat, so you better listen to what the Bible says about what's going to get ready to happen in these last and evil days. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, Father. We ask you right now, let people hear what you have said in your word. Lord, let them be aware. Let them be interested in their soul, that they may know of the only way that they can get forgiveness, only way that they can be saved, only way they can be redeemed is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask you right now, let everybody that have a voice lift their voices and praise God, because that means God still got some men on this earth that's preaching the gospel under the unadulterated word of God. We got a whole lot of quacks. We got a whole lot of Mickey Mouses. We got a whole lot of Minnie Mouses. We got all kinds of false prophets. We got false witnesses. We got people telling you anything that's not from the word of God, and the world is sucking it up. They're sucking it up like a sponge. Why? Because they don't know the word of God. But we're here to tell you right now that may the Lord bless this service this evening, this afternoon, and somebody may listen. Get your phone ready. Amen. Get your eyes looking. Get your ears open. And we're going to turn it over to Brother Tim. I already offered prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Tim, you go ahead with it. Talk about it.
Amen, brother. Amen. It is a blessing to be back. It is a blessing to be here. What an honor this is. Amen. I truthfully must say, and I said it before, I'm going to say it again, this is the highest calling to mankind on the face of the earth in existence.
Come on.
It's to preach the gospel, to preach the unadulterated word of the Most High God, Yahweh, to save souls, to take men's souls out of a everlasting perishing situation.
Ooh.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And to bring about salvation. No
salvation.
Other call on the face of this planet. Not the president, not the king or a queen, not a rich man, not a billionaire, not a millionaire, not even a trillionaire, if you want to call yourself that. Amen. Have a higher calling or responsibility than to call men and women of God to preach the gospel and to save men's souls. Amen,
yes,
brother. And what I want to talk about tonight is that we are so close. This is no joke. It is time out. Like the brother said, pull up a chair, turn your radio up, turn your phone up, put it around the table, and hear what thus said the Lord. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through us to warn, Lord have mercy, to warn the lukewarm church and to warn the non-believers, and also a warning to the believers. Amen. Now, the difference for the believers is that they are already saved. So when the trumpet blows, amen, they're already saved. But I'm going to tell you right now, as the believing church, it is time to speak the word. This is the warning to you to share this word, to share this gospel, this warning of revelation that Christ gave to John, the apostle, amen,
yes,
to warn the churches and to let your family know, the people that you love close and near and dear to you know, to let those who are lost know that Christ is on his way back. This
yes,
is the
is.
Warning. Amen. That he is on his way back. Amen, doctor. All glory be to the Most High. I can't take credit for nothing. This gift that he has given me, amen, this gift that he's given you, Amen. It straight comes from God. Amen. I can't take credit
Amen.
For none of it. Amen.
Nothing.
I thank him so much for this opportunity to be a blessing to the world. It is time to shake the bushes. Amen. Rattle the trees
Amen.
And shout to the rooftops. Amen. The king is coming. Amen.
Coming.
We have to continue to preach this word as much as we possibly can. Amen. Now, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into some scriptures. Amen. Because of the hour and the time. Amen. The time is of the essence. Amen. That's how we
Amen.
Sit in the church. Now, the world will tell you time is money. Amen. That's what the world will tell you. But us that are in the church, us that are in the church will tell you what? We will tell you that time is of the essence. And we don't have no more time to play, to joke. We got to get as many souls ready to get into the kingdom of heaven, to the kingdom of God, before the trumpets blow, before
Amen.
Christ, Amen, descends from heaven with the shout of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise. Because when that trumpet blows, that's it.
That's
it. That's it. The dead in Christ will rise. And Paul said, those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Amen. So what I want to
Amen.
Talk about tonight, this is a long-awaited conversation that I've been saying for over a year that I want to talk about. It is finally here. And we're going to talk about the five crowns that you can receive, Lord have mercy. Amen. As a saint of God, these are the crowns that you're going to receive. But before we get into those crowns, I want to talk about the judgment bema seat. Amen.
Come on.
So,
come on.
Amen. In order to do so, amen, brother. Hope I got some time.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to try to squeeze it in. Amen. Because you know how it is. Amen. It's Wednesday
yeah.
night, but we're going to let the Spirit work tonight. Amen.
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. And we're going to go to verse 10. This is the judgment seat of Christ, Yahshua, Jesus. Amen. This is the judgment seat, which is known as the Bema seat. Amen. Amen. This is the judgment seat of Christ. Again, coming from 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, verse 10. Watch what it says.
Yes.
It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, understand who Paul is referencing. Who is Paul's audience? Paul's audience is the believers. He's only talking to those who have confessed with their mouth and believe in their heart, amen, that Christ was raised from the dead. This is the
yes.
save. This is the plan of salvation, amen, because what's important is just not you getting ready, but to make sure you're ready for the return of Christ, that your soul
yes.
is saved. So when the trumpet blows, amen, because people can share all this information. You can know about God. You can hear about God. You can talk about God. You can talk about the rapture. You can desire to go back with Christ. But if you don't believe in him, in other words, if you haven't invested in him like he's invested in you, if you don't believe and have a relationship with Christ, Lord,
come on, come on.
Amen. You got to have that relationship. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So remember, this is what Paul said. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone may receive the things done in his body. According
yes.
to that, he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Lord have
yes.
mercy. Amen. Amen. Now, this is a very important verse, a very important subject. Now, what I'm going to do is share some more scriptures with you to explain, amen, that scripture. Amen. So before we
amen.
Do, we're going to move a little further. Amen. So then remember, this is called what? The judgment seat of Christ is known as the Bema seat. That's what it is.
Bema.
The Bema. Amen. So this right here is going to take place when? Immediately after the rapture of the church. So after the trumpet blows, something's going to happen. Everything has to come in a sequence of events. Now, remember, the great tribulation shall not, will not, and cannot start until the church has been gathered together into heaven.
Yes.
Amen. Some folks like to get cute, say, oh, well, the rapture ain't in the Bible. We know that the word rapture is not in the Bible, but you got to understand the Latin word and what it means. It basically just translates to mean what Paul said over in Thessalonians. We will be what? Gathered together. The church gathering, being called up, amen, caught up in the earth to meet Christ, amen. So after we are caught up in the earth, immediately after that, then the Holy Spirit, a lot of people say the Holy Spirit is going to be removed. The Holy Spirit is not going to be removed. He's going to, the Holy Spirit is everywhere, so he can't be removed. He's like the wind. The Holy Spirit is going to simply step back and allow who? The man of sin, the son of perdition, to take the stage, the world stage. He's going to come on the stage. Amen. And then the devil, amen, is going to be allowed to have his seven-year chaos on this planet. And the sad thing about it is the people, the very people that believe in him, which are the non-believers, are going to suffer the greatest. Amen. And that's so silly for them to sit there and serve Satan, serve a false god that's going to wreak havoc on them. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, the Bama is going to take place immediately after the rapture of the church. It's only going to be 7 years. Why? Because our judgment is going to be different than the judgment of who? The non-believers. Amen.
Yeah.
The wicked. That's right, brother. Amen. So you got to remember, this is going to be 2,000 years of saints since Christ ascended to heaven. Amen. And at the day of Pentecost, those souls that receive who? The Holy Spirit. Amen.
Come on.
So all those souls from that time 2,000 years ago to present, amen, are going to be gathered together. Amen. We're going to be judged. Amen. Now watch this. I'm going to get into our judgment, okay? Now, the place of the Bema Seat is going to be in the sphere of the heavenlies. So before we can go before God, amen, because remember the 24 elders represent the church, amen, and the Old Testament, amen. And so before we go before God, we must receive our what? Our reward, amen.
Yeah.
It said that, amen, it said that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be what? Good or bad. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. So, amen. So let's go there real quick. Let's examine this. Let's go, Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, verse 17. Amen. Let's go there real quick. First Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, verse 17. Amen. I love the way Paul writes. Now watch what Paul says in verse 17. He says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Amen.
Uh-huh.
That's what they refer to in the Latin word as translated to the word rapture. That's where they get the word rapture from. Though it is not in the Bible. So when we say caught up, we're talking about what people call the rapture. But we know that we call it being caught up. That's the proper scripture term, if you want to be, as they say, spiritually correct. Amen. It's called being caught up. Amen. But when we say rapture, now you understand and know why we say and use the word rapture. So just think of the rapture as a slang terminology, amen, if you will, of the Bible word caught up. Amen. Now it says, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Man, it's going to be a glorious day. You ain't going to know what to do with yourself. Paul said, in a moment, amen, doctor, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you're going to have a brand new spanking body. You ain't going to know what to do with yourself, man. You're going to look immaculate. You're going to have this beautiful white robe on that's going to be so bright. Brighter than the Bible says, you're going to be shining like a star. Amen.
Come on.
Amen. You're going to be beautiful. There used to be a group, amen, back in the 70s called Earth, Wind, and Fire. When I was a kid, my brothers used to always listen to them. They used to have a song called Are You a Shining Star? Amen. So
yeah,
you're going to
yeah.
literally be like a shining star when Christ comes. Man, you're going to be beautiful. You ain't going to know what to do with yourself. Now watch this. Amen. So now you see, after we are caught up, now remember that the dead uh-huh. must be raised first. The dead must be resurrected first before those of us who are alive and remain must be what? Caught up. Amen. So where are we going to be?
Exactly.
Together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the earth. Now, while we're being judged, amen, at the time of the Bema, the people on the earth will not be able to what? See us. Amen. They
Come
won't be
now.
Able to see it, but we'll be there. Because why? We will be what? In the spirit. Amen.
The
sky is going to close back up. Amen. After we ascend up to meet Christ, the sky is going to close up, and they're not going to see us, and we're going to be in the spirit. So just like we can't see spiritual things right now with our natural eye, that's how it's going to be for them. They're going to see us for a moment. Amen. They may see us. Amen. I'm going to let the brother talk a little bit about that. They may see us. They may not. I know some depend on whether they'll be able to see us. Some say that we won't. But we'll come back to that in a minute. Amen. But watch this. Amen. Watch this. Now, who is going to be the judge at the Bema seat?
Woo.
The judge is going to be who? Lord have mercy. Paul already said it. Amen. It is called the Bema seat of Christ. Called the Bema seat of Christ for a reason. Because why?
Yeah.
Christ is going to do the judging. Now, why is Christ going to do the judging? Amen. Because why? Christ was born in the flesh. God sent his only begotten son to redeem man, and because he can relate to us. So, see, if God was to judge us, it would probably be easy for man to say, well, God, you're God Almighty. You did not experience the sinful flesh that had to deal with lust and things of this world. But see, Christ had to deal with the same thing that we deal with on a daily basis for 33 years. So now
yeah.
we won't have an
yeah.
excuse, amen, to tell God, hey, you didn't go through what I went through. God said, yes,
now.
I
Come
did.
On.
Amen. I sent my son, and he experienced the same exact thing for 33 years on this earth as you experienced. So it won't be no excuses, amen?
No.
Amen. So Christ is going to be the judge at the Bema seat, amen?
Amen.
That was time now. Amen, amen. If I got a little time to keep going.
Go ahead, brother.
Amen now. Amen. Now,
go.
The subjects of the Bema seat of Christ, who's going to be there? Only believers in the church. Amen. So remember, so know who's going to be there. The church age saints. So not the Old Testament saints, not the tribulational saints, but who? The church age saints do, what we call
yes,
the Christians,
right.
the believers, the Christians,
right.
amen. We
right.
will be the those of us, our mouth, and believe
Woo.
In our heart. We've given our life
yes.
to God, and we sincerely believe that. We will be there. Mm. Just that plain and simple. If you want to go tonight, if you say, man, I want to be saved, man, it's about being with God forever, not just about missing the rapture, not just about receiving rewards, but, man, you're going to get to live in peace. And enjoy.
Come on.
Holy man, that is, that brother, that is so,
my
man, that is so, man, it's almost so unbelievable to believe. But it's going to be true. We're going to
yeah.
live with peace because you want to know why, brother? We're going to be so happy. We're probably going to be just crying tears of joy because you want to know why? Look at all the suffering we go through. Brother, we
Woo.
Suffer today. We deal with health issues. We deal with stress, depression, headaches, people mistreating us, people hating on us, man, people being ugly to us. Man, you deal with people acting ugly all the time. But if I go out in public, man, it seems like every day. And you know how it is for us. Amen. We
Come
deal
on.
With so much every day. My gosh, man, we are persecuted all the time. It's like, Lord, when are you going to come back and get us? Amen. Not that we want to die and leave this world, but we just say, Lord, if you're going to come, amen, we are definitely waiting on you.
Yeah.
Amen. We are looking for you. Hey, come quickly. Amen. That's what Paul said. I would have said it in Revelation, what John said. Come quickly. That's what the scripture said. Amen.
Yeah.
And we feel that. Amen. Because we should desire to be with the Lord. Because what did Paul say?
Yeah.
Amen. Let me read this scripture right here, verses 8 and 9. Of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. This is why this is all in the same context. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9 before verse 10.
Read
watch
it.
What it said. Paul said, we are confident. Ooh, I like the way Paul talked, brother. Preach, Paul. Paul said, we are confident. He said, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Come on with it.
Wherefore we labor, amen, that whether
amen.
Present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Amen. So, brother, whether we are here on earth alive or whether we are past and gone on, amen, we just want to be accepted. We just want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. That's what we strive for. We strive to be with the Lord. God, Yahweh, and his Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the holy angels, and the Old Testament saints, as well as the current saints, amen, of all ages, for all eternity, in love, peace, and joy. Don't have to worry about getting up going to no stinking job. Ain't got to worry about no bad attitudes. Ain't got to worry about nobody harassing you, giving you no heart. No stress, no heartaches, no pains. Man, God is good.
Good.
Amen.
Good.
That's what we strive for. Amen. So we,
amen.
The believers, will be the subjects of the Bema seat. Amen. We will be the ones. Amen. Now watch this. Amen. If I got a little bit more time.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Amen. I'm going to get rid of it. Okay. Amen. The basis of examination. In other words, what is he examining? Why are we going to be judged? Amen. Because we have to be judged by the in this body. Now, the examination is very important because some people believe that God is going to scold us. I've actually heard people say that. I'm like, man, I don't know if God's going to scold us because he died on the cross. And, amen, we know that he loves us, and we know that his sin is wrong, but Christ died for our sin. Now, let me show you what the scripture says. Let me go over to 1 John. I found this many years ago. Let's go over to 1 John and see what 1 John says about it. Amen. This is what 1
John says.
Amen, brother. Let me see if I can find it. All glory. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, there it is. I found it. Amen. 1 John, amen, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2. Let's see what they say. Amen. And watch what it says. It says, my little children. See, when the Bible talks like that, who is he talking to?
He talks
to the believers. He's talking to the church, my little children. He's not talking to the non-believers because God sees us as who? Little children. Ooh, thank God for his grace and his mercy. We are his. I tell people all the time, I'm a king's kid. You better not mess with me. You know how when you was a kid, somebody tried to peel you. You better not mess with me. My daddy and my mama get you. Amen. So watch this. My little children. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
what's his
sir.
Name? Amen. They call him Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yahshua. Amen. Verse 2. Verse 2 says, and he is the what? The propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, meaning that those who have not yet been saved, if they desire to be saved, guess what? Amen. He is going to take care of us because we have been what? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Yes.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the brother real quick, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to get a little bit more in depth into the basis of examination. I got some scripture to share with you. Romans 8:1 is one of them. Amen. Because why? There is therefore now no condemnation.
Yes,
praise,
sir.
Doctor. Amen.
Brother, God bless you. God bless you. We're going to stay right on that subject. I'm not going to deviate what you're talking about, because that's where we're headed. We're headed to go get our rewards. Thank God. Thank God for the cross. Because I'm going to tell you right now, without the cross, we wouldn't be on this radio station. We wouldn't be on the internet. Why? Because when Christ died and came back from the grave, he defeated Satan. He defeated Satan. Now men can be saved by the grace of God, because God took up on himself the flesh of the human race, came down here through 42 generations, born in Bethlehem of Judea of a virgin Mary, stayed on earth for 33.5 years, and at the end of his ministry, he told his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Suffer what? Suffer for our sins, our lying self, our dirty. We were dirty. Sinners are dirty. Sinners are filthy. Sinners are low down. Sinners is unclean. And somebody had to clean the race up. Nobody could do it but God himself. Nobody, because there's nobody like God. He's all by himself. He is self-existent. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the creator. He's the maker of all the whole human race. And only his blood. Ooh, there wouldn't be no millennium. There wouldn't be no rapture. There wouldn't be no, there would be nothing after the, if Christ wouldn't arose from the dead. Come on, think about it. Ain't nobody else did what Jesus done. Nobody died for my sin. I looked into the denomination mark. Baptist ain't died for me. Presbyterian ain't died for me. Catholic ain't died for me. Huh? KKK ain't died for me. Ooh, my. None of these man-made organizations, none of these secret societies died for me. None of them. Now, if none of them died, then that means that man is nothing but a stone sinner. He cannot die for himself. He cannot suffer for his own sin. Somebody who is called the Almighty God,
amen,
all by himself, became human. And when he became human, he became like us. Yet he was without sin. But he became a sin offer. He became a sin offer. He became a sinner. It was his own sin. It was our sin. And he took up on him every sin that man could do. Christ took it. And they nailed him to the cross. Good God Almighty. I wish I could shout on the outside with this. He was nailed to the cross for my sin. I'm talking about myself, because I was a sinner once. I was a lost sinner.
Amen.
Didn't have nobody. Yeah, I had my mom. But thank God they taught me about this sacrifice. This sacrifice of all that Jesus done. If he would have done that, I would have been. I think what I would be. I thank God. I would be in hell today. Woo!
Yeah.
Because I would have nobody to take my penalty for my sin. It said Jesus took the penalty for my sin, and he became, after he became a resurrected Savior, he was able and had power enough to save to the uttermost. And he can save anybody today. He can save anybody today, black, white, yellow, green, purple, ugly, pretty, rich, poor. He can save you. Drug addict, homosexual, lesbianism, incest. He can save you from what? Sin. So you wouldn't be damned to go to hell. Because without Jesus Christ, without Christ in your life, without a changed life, without a sanctified life, without a born-again experience life, without a Holy Ghost-filled born-again life, guess what? If you die without Jesus, you will actually go to hell on your own. Because God don't be dropping people off in hell. No, if he was going to do that, he should have did it before he died. He could have did it, but he said, no, for God so loved the world, good God Almighty, that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So what I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to pinpoint, without the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ didn't come from the grave, me and Brother Tim need to go home.
Amen.
Order some match firewood and some coal and some brimstone and go on to hell, because that's where we'd be going. But thank God Almighty, he had planned this before the foundations of the world, that he would come down here and redeem mankind. And we have the opportunity, you have the opportunity, the mailman have the opportunity, the basketball player have the opportunity, the church members have the opportunity, everybody on this planet have an opportunity to receive Christ in their life. So when they die in a moment, in a twinkling eye, they'll go right into paradise. But if you refuse it, if you reject it and don't hear the word of God, and you die without the Holy Ghost, without the blood washing, sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ in your life, walking and talking like Jesus Christ, then you will die. If you die without him, you will go to hell. The rapture is almost here. And those that are saved right now, if the church will be raptured up right now, there would be a great vacuum from the earth. Millions of people would be missing from earth. And when they've been missing from earth, there's going to be a catastrophic event that happens. Revelation will open up.
Amen.
It will open up in the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter will be the opening of the tribulation period. Because in the fourth chapter of Revelation, John said, I saw heaven and I was at the presence of the throne of God, and I saw God sitting on the throne. I saw the 24 elders. That is the rapture of the church. That's when the church get ready to go to do what? Get their rewards. Their rewards for what? For the works that the born again, the baptized, redeemed one, the works that they have done up on the earth while they were saved through Jesus Christ. And there's two kinds of works of wood, hay, and stubble that represent flesh. Gold, silver, and precious jewels represent divine guidance through the Holy Spirit. So that's letting you know that the Christian has two natures. He has the carnal nature and he has the spiritual nature. And the spiritual nature is ruled by the Holy Ghost. The carnal nature is ruled by the world, Satan, and the devil. And so what we got here, we got a war within our soul, within our spirit, within our flesh. We're warned not against flesh and blood. We're warned against the prince power of the air, which is the devil. So what's going to happen? When the church is raptured up, we're going to get our rewards for our works. How many rewards are there? There are five crowns.
Amen.
Crowns.
Come on, doctor.
Christians can receive. What are the clowns? I'm going to name the clowns, and then I'm going to give you the scriptures where to go to find the clowns. The
Amen.
First clown is called the incorruptible crown.
That's right.
The second crown is called the crown of life. The
mm-hmm.
third crown is called the crown of glory. The fourth crown is called the crown of righteousness.
Right.
The fifth crown is called the crown of rejoicing. There's five crowns that a born-again, baptized believer will receive at the judgment seat, Bema, where Christ will judge his body. The
That's
body
right.
is what? The body is the church. The
Amen.
Church is the body of Christ, where men, boys, girls have been saved and sanctified by what? By the blood of Jesus Christ and not by
yeah.
your works. You can
Amen.
Do all the do good. You can do all
Come
the
on,
good things you want. You can go to choir practice. You can go to Bible study. You can get behind the pulpit and preach. You can shout. You can do all the art of of religion. But if you have not been born again, you will still be shouting after the rapture of the church, and you won't be shouting for joy. You'll be shouting for disfigured faces, fallen hearts, men wonder what done happened, and they can't tell you the reason why. They can't tell you because they are not in the Word. And if you ain't in the Word, and if you ain't saved, and you ain't thinking about your own soul, you most likely will be left here, and you will have to face the Antichrist. All right.
Amen.
So when the church is raptured up, that means there will be one saint on this planet. Not one. There won't be one saved person on this planet. The only time that God is going to bring 144,000 evangelists of Jewish nationality, be the first people that will preach the gospel to a dying, unbelieving, Christ-rejecting world. And they will hear the gospel from the Jewish nation. The Jews will preach the gospel in the last 7 years of tribulation period. The church will not participate in the tribulation because their job is already done. For 2,000 years, the church has had the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And I'm sad to say the church has failed in preaching the unadulterated word of God. They're preaching Mickey Mouse and Superman, they're preaching all kinds of ideologies, they're preaching all kinds of occult, they're preaching all kinds of new ways to try to please God, but no man can please God. The only way that you can please God is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and repent of your sin. So what we got? We got the church gone. We got the 144,000 going to preach the gospel to 21 half years. The last 3.5 years, the two witnesses will preach the gospel. It's going to be a 7-year revival over the whole earth. And by that, the world is going to hear the gospel. And not only that, God said, I got 3 angels. I got to let them fly. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise our God. He's going to let 3 angels fly around the world. Oh, come on, preacher. Come on, preacher. They're going to preach about the atmosphere. If you don't believe me, read the 14th chapter of Revelation. It will tell you these angels are going to say, whoa, 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 into the inhabitants of the earth. Then it's going to say, those that receive the mark of the beast, they will, the wrath of God will fall upon them. And they will say, fear God and keep his commandments. They're going to hear the word. Oh, my God. You talk about radio. You talk about internet. You talk about Instagram. You talk about Twitters. You talking about an iPad. Jesus Christ said, look, I got 3 angels that's going to wipe out the iPad. It's going to let the world know and hear angels preach the gospel. And why would God let the angel preach the gospel? He's making his last run. God has went down to the gates of hell and stood in the front of the gates of hell and warned the world. Repent. Warn the world. Receive Christ. Warn the world. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Warn the world and turn to Jesus Christ. And the world said, no, no. The hell with that. That's what the world is saying. The hell with that. We want the world. And God says, all right, you want the world, and the world is of the devil. The devil's of the world. I'm going to give you the devil. And that's what's going to happen during the tribulation period. The devil's going to have control of the world. 7 years, and 144,000 is going to bring in the greatest revival that ever hit this planet. So many that no man can number. So many that John, the elder, said, where did these come from? He said, don't you know? He said, no. He said, these are they that came through great trials and tribulation. These are the tribulation saints. Now, the church is in heaven. And since the church is in heaven, we're going to talk about the incorruptible crown. What does the incorruptible crown represent? The incorruptible crown, this crown is often called the victor's crown. It is conferred upon those who have kept under their body and bring in the subjection. 1 Corinthians 9:27, the 1 Corinthians, that's the first called the incorruptible crown. That is those who have purged themselves from the inducement and pledges of the world and are profitable for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are saints that's on fire for God. These are saints that's telling the world, separate yourself. Come out among them. Flee, don't go into sin. Come out of sin. He said, lay aside every weight, every sin that's so easily set up, looking into Jesus, who is an author and finisher of faith. These are saints that's filled with the love of God, and these are the saints that's telling the world Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and there's no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved than the name of Jesus. That's an incorruptible crown. You got an incorruptible crown because you didn't let the flesh corrupt you from telling you what God has told you to do. And that is preach the gospel in season. Live the gospel. Talk about it. Walk in it. Talk in it. Let somebody know. Amen. Say, look like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. Pray like a Christian. Love like a Christian. Must be a Christian. Good God Almighty. You know that duck story. Look like a duck. Walk like a duck. Walk like a duck. Quack like a duck. Wait a minute. Look at me. You're good. Here's a duck. Woo! So these are born again, spirit-filled Christians that have stood for the truth and the love and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the first crown. Second crown. Second crown is called the crown of life. It says in Revelation, the crown of life says, often called the martyr crown, the suffering crown. This reward is ratified by many injustice Christians suffer in life. Those that have suffered must yet endure a sweet Christian spirit to be given a crown of life. The crown is a special reward for those who have been faithful. Good God Almighty. Faithful.
Amen.
Death. In other words, going to the guillotine during the tribulation period, there's going to be some faithful saints going to be boiled in oil or be hung. They're faithful Christians going in to the lion's den like Daniel, going into the fire like the Hebrew boy. They didn't even mumble.
Amen.
They didn't even grow. For God I live and for God I die. And I'm going to tell you right now, I feel so powerful. I feel so good that if somebody would tell me, what would you want to do? You want to take the guillotine or you want to receive the mark of the beast? I would tell them, give me the guillotine. Give me the guillotine because I know after I leave this old planet, I have a home that's not made by hand and is not built by man. It's built by God. I have a home, that Jesus Christ purchased for me on Calvary's cross. I got a place to go where I can live and live and live on. No more crying, no more dying. I'll take the guillotine. And there's a lot of people that's going to be going through the tribulation. They're going to take the guillotine. And some are going to refuse the guillotine and take the mark of the beast. But if you take the mark of the beast on your forehead or on your right hand, they tell me you're headed for hell, the devil's hell. And they tell me hell is full of non-believers, full of Christ rejectors, full of agnostics, and full of atheists, full of liars and prostitutes, full of backbiters, full of churchgoers, full of false preachers. Hell is full. Don't let nobody fool you because God is the way that leads us into destruction, and many go in there. That's what you call the crown of life. Next crown is called the crown of glory. This is often called the shepherd's crown or the pastoral crown. It is reserved for those who have given their lives to teach of the word of God in 1 Peter 5:14. These are preachers. These are bishops. These are evangelists. These are men who have stood the test. These are men who have upstood the righteousness of God. These are men that rather die and serving God than doing the wrong thing. These are men like
Amen.
These are men like Hosea. These are the men like Jonah. These are the men like Habakkuk and Zechariah. These are the men like Malachi. And we got men today that's preaching the unadulterated word of God, that's telling the world Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus is coming back again. He's not coming for no joint joining the church idea. You've got to be more than joining the church. You've got to be born of the Spirit. You've got to be born of God. That's what you call the crown of righteousness. You got the glory crown. The crown of righteousness is a special crown. It's reserved for those Christians who are inspired by the imminent return of Christ, have lived a very righteous life, a holy life. God does not demand talent vessels for his service. In fact, we need to remember that what comes from our lives is accomplished by his power, not our skill of talent. He simply lays down a major requirement that a Christian be clean. I mean sanctified clean. I don't mean that it's just physical clean, because a lot of people can dress on the outside, look good, smell good, or smile good, but underneath it's like dead men's bones. I'm talking about sanctified holiness. I'm talking about cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Somehow the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ has a purifying effect upon the believer. Now, if you're a believer and you believe and accept the book of Genesis down to Revelation, that book of Revelation, if you believe it, accept it, guess what? It'll sanctify you. It'll make you say, oh, my God, I need to get right. Why? Because let me tell you, you must be spotless when you come. In other words, your soul must be spotless. The flesh, amen, is always going to have a spot in it, because you can't eradicate sin in the flesh. Because Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? So death is in the body, but the spirit, woo, the spirit is alive. The spirit is a conquering. The spirit is powerful. The spirit can stand up against anything, because Jesus said up on the rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Well, I'm a born-again believer, and I'm a body of Christ. That means that I'm indestructible. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The devil can destroy this body. Mm-hmm. He can destroy my nervous system. He can have me to have a heart attack. Mm-hmm. This body will deteriorate. But by my Bible said, there's a soul and a spirit within him. He said, if a man die, oh, Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? And Job said, I'll wait till my change come, for I know my Redeemer liveth and he stands up on earth. So I'm an indestructible man. You can't destroy me, Satan. The world can't do me no harm, because the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what you call the end time preachers, the end time preachers, the preachers that's preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ, preaching about the seven churches of Asia Minor, preaching about the fourth chapter of Revelation where church is raptured, preaching about the fifth chapter of Revelation where you see the throne of God, the sixth chapter. You see the white horse, the seventh chapter. You see the 144,000, they tell me, the seventh chapter, 144,000 came. They tell me the eighth chapter, there was a silence in heaven because judgment is getting ready to take place. In the ninth chapter, an angel went down in the bottomless pit and opened up and scorpions came out to sting men that they want to die. Good God Almighty. The 10th chapter, they tell me I saw two witnesses and the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, and they're getting ready to rebuild it. Do you know what I'm talking about? And then they tell me this temple is going to be rebuilt, and the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple. The 11th chapter, the temple will be rebuilt. They tell me the 12th chapter is going to be a war in heaven. Satan will be cast out of heaven. And when he's cast out of heaven, he's going to resurrect the Antichrist from the death blow to the head. And they tell me the 12th chapter, the 13th chapter, I see a beast come up out of the sea. And that's when the Antichrist is infused by the beast, and he becomes the beast. And when he becomes the beast, they tell me the deadly wound is healed. And when the deadly wound is healed, guess what? They tell me the world looked at it. The world was amazed about it. The world was extravagant. Went over the hill and said, they seen this false resurrection of Jesus Christ. When they saw this false resurrection of the Jesus Christ, they're going to believe that he is God Almighty, when he's not God Almighty. He's the devil in the flesh, and he's going to call the mark of the beast. He's going to come the mark of the beast, and the world is going to accept the mark of the beast, because they're already accepting the corona the Corona scam. If you want to buy or sell or go to the store, they started in Chicago, Illinois. Lightfoot, Mayor Lightfoot said, January the 3rd, we're going to mandate that everybody get the vaccine, and if you don't get it, you won't need to come to the store. You won't be able to go down to the bus stop. You won't be able to go into the restaurant. You won't be able to do nothing. And the world is saying, well, I got to have my freedom, but to tell me the same way that the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to come with a name and a number and a stamp residue on your right hand or on your forehead saying, if you don't receive the mark of the beast, if you don't receive the stamp on your head, you won't be able to buy or sell. You ain't going to be able to go. No. You can't even drive your car. You can't even go down to the post office and get a 10-cent stamp. You can't go nowhere. If you don't get this stamp, you won't be able to participate in the economical. You won't be able to participate in the religious order. You won't be able to participate in the financial order. You will be stuck. And so they're going to give you an opportunity. Say, look, if you get the stamp, you can have the right to have your freedom to buy and sell. You receive the stamp,
right.
Good God Almighty. If you receive the mark of the beast, you're saying that this Antichrist is Jesus Christ when he's not Jesus Christ. He's the devil in the flesh. And the devil going to say that if you don't fall down and worship me, I will behead you. And that's where the guillotine come in at. And America now has 60,000 guillotines and more is coming in. And the world is sitting around talking about hallelujah. People are going to football games. They tell me the whorehouses are being packed out. They tell me the churches is playing hanky-panky. They tell me of preaching everything but the word of God. They're living like a swine going after his own woman. They're neither hot nor cold. And Jesus said, if you're not a hot or cold, I'm going to regurgitate you out of my mouth because you don't know me. You're trying to fool somebody. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God none of the time. He knows every individual one by one. And let me tell you, he don't miss nobody. And you want to know what's going on in the world today. I don't know if you heard about it, but the Simpsons, amen. Had a cartoon on the other day. And you know what they were talking about? They were talking about the rapture. I said, my God. If the cartoons telling you about the rapture, they had to go. I'm telling you something. See, if the cartoons is doing something that the preachers are not doing, the preachers are not preaching the rapture. They're not preaching the salvation of Jesus Christ. And here's a little two-bit cartoon. It's an Antichrist cartoon, and here they are talking about the rapture of the church. Where is the church? They're sleeping. They're slobbering. They're fooling around. They're hanky-panky. And some of these Christians that will probably make it to heaven, they're going to make it to heaven. Their rewards ain't going to be nothing but a crown. And here we got five crowns. And then there's going to be any redemption. Jesus Christ is going to line the church up and correct a lot of things that the church has been teaching. He can correct them, and he's going to let them know you were wrong when you were telling people there's no such thing as eternal, no security. Eternal salvation is taught in the Bible, yet and still preachers are saying that you saved today, lost tomorrow. Saved today, lost tomorrow. You saved today, lost tomorrow. Ain't no such thing because when Jesus Christ died, he died once and for all. You're crucifying Jesus Christ in the flesh. If you say that you were saved yesterday, now you ain't saved because of what you do. It ain't what you do that says you say. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. It's your repentant spirit that says that I am a low-down, cutthroat sinner. I might be looking good, talking good, smelling sweet, but inside, I'm low-down. I'm a conniver. I'm a boaster. I'm a prideful person. I'm all this, but yet still, you're trying to fool people like you a Christian. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ knows all about you. And when you stand, some Christian going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ, ashamed of themselves, on the way that they live with Jesus Christ. They did not let Jesus Christ reign in their life. Because they did, if you accepted Jesus Christ once, that's, you can't accept the 99 more times. It's once and for all. Christ didn't die enough but one time. It was sufficient enough for him to die one time. And then we have the last crown. It's called the crown of rejoicing. And that's found in the book of 1 Thessalonians 2:19 to the 21st. And that crown represents a soul-winning crown. A soul-winning crown. How many souls have you won for Christ? How many souls have you won for Christ? How many souls did you tell them what the blood of Jesus Christ can do? How many souls did you comfort? How many souls did you talk to? Are you concerned about people's souls? I am. I know Brother Tim is. Otherwise, if I wasn't concerned about your soul, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care if you go to heaven or hell. But let me tell you, I don't want you to go to hell. No. And if I make it a little vulgar, hell no. Don't go to hell. For what? You ain't going there for nothing. Ain't nothing there. But misery, agony, pain, memory, eyesight, talk, pain, where the worm never died. What is the worm? The human being is like a worm. It wiggles. It wiggles. And in hell, the worm will never die. That means you will live in hell forever. Your residence will be forever. You won't be able to move nowhere. You won't be able to move around hell or move around in hell. It's hot everywhere. You have everything, your faculties and everything, and you will remember. You will remember every word I said if you were here, if you're listening to me tonight. And I'm listening. I want to tell you this in the love of God.
Amen.
In the love of God, I don't want you to be lost. We're going into 2021, 2020, 22. We're leaving 2021, going into 2022. And 22 is going to be the most devastating year up on the face of the earth since the beginning of time. And we ain't even in the tribulation period yet. But we're getting ready to go into the tribulation period. We're getting ready to step into it. Chicago, Illinois, January the 3rd, they're going to mandate that everybody get the vaccine. You don't get it, you won't have your privileges. It's going to cause race riots. It's going to cause a shortage of policemen. It's going to cause people to rebel against the government. Because I'm going to tell you who's doing this. I'm going to tell you who's doing this. It's the Illuminati's. It's the Illuminati. It's Luciferian, Moloch, Baphomet, Skeeper. It's these wicked spirits that's ordering from the pits of hell on how to carry this thing on. People will lose their job. They will lose their house. They won't have no money to finance. And let me tell you, the relatives, if you got any relatives, they're going to end up outside, and they're going to have no place to go. So some relatives will have to get together and move in. Oh, yes, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming because the Bible said it's coming. It's coming because Jesus Christ is getting ready to rapture the church before the Antichrist can get here. And when the Antichrist get here, he's going to try to smooth it over and make it look like it's all right. And the world is going to say, yes, this is what we've been waiting for. And the world is going to believe that this man, 6'6", come out of Madrid, Spain. He's the king of Spain right now. He's been in the background ever since 1968. And 68 was the year that Jerusalem regained the Wailing Wall. And it was the year that the Blood Moon started up. All this was built up. That he was born in 1968 and it's 2021 now. So right now he's 53 years old. He'll be 54 coming in 2020. He's at the right age. He's been in all four military. He knows 10 different kinds of languages. And he belongs. Listen to what I'm saying. This is not, this is no joke. My life is at stake. What you talking about, preacher? My life is at stake because Satan knows that the word of God is true, and Brother Tim's life is at stake. If you tell the truth, you are headed for trouble because the devil don't want to reveal the plan that he has. And his plan is bring America down, bring the whole world down under his power so that he can control people. And now people are being controlled by the condition that the world is in. And they're trying to make it better, but it's going to get worse. Another announcement, SOS 2022 is not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse until a lot of dead folks that's walking around dead, you know what I mean, spiritually dead, they're going to wake up. And a lot of people in church are still not going to catch on of what's going on. But God is saving folks outside of the church more than he's saving people in the church, because so many people in the house of God think they stay, don't know nothing about the resurrection and the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ and never been born again. And Jesus Christ said, I'll let my body go and go ahead and get somebody so I can add somebody onto my body. Because a lot of people think they own to the body of Christ, and they have not been sealed with the Spirit. My friends, this is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you, the five crowns that we can receive at the judgment seat of Christ. We're on our way. Brother Tim, go ahead.
Amen, Doctor. Amen. Real quick, Doctor. Amen. I'm gonna turn it back over to you. Amen. I want to share this. Amen. Excuse me. Romans 8th chapter, verse 1. Amen. Awesome word, brother. Amen. On the five crowns. Amen. We're going to definitely touch on those five crowns a little bit more this weekend. Amen. I got some information I want to share with you. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. No, you good, brother. Amen. Awesome job in sharing that information. Amen. I thank you so much, amen, for covering those five crowns in the scriptures. Amen. Amen. So, but I want to share with you right real quick, amen, before I turn back over to you, is the examination of the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. And that's coming
amen.
From Romans 8th chapter, verse 1. Amen. And this is God's
amen.
Grace and mercy. Amen. Watch what Paul said. Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh,
right,
but after the Spirit. Amen. So your judgment is not going to be, amen, what you didn't do, amen, as much as what you did. And because
all
right. what you do for Christ shall last. And he's
going
to reward you on the good works that you have done. Amen.
Amen,
he's gonna
amen
reward
brother.
You on the good works that you have done. Excuse me. This is the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior. Amen. God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. So he's not going to put you up there. Amen. To run you over. Amen. So much about what you didn't do. Amen. Because we have been washed in the blood. Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen. Thank God for his amen. Grace and his mercy. And that's
mercy.
His grace and his mercy. Amen. That's it. Amen. But watch this. Amen. I want to share with you another scripture.
Go ahead.
Coming from John, the 5th chapter. Amen. So the issue, amen, is not salvation. You've already been saved. Amen. Amen. So again, if he questioned you about something, amen, he may ask you, you know, you had opportunity. Amen. And what he's going to say is,
that's right.
because you didn't take advantage of something or you didn't do something, I can't reward you for that. And he's going to move on. Amen. He's not going to condemn you. Amen. He's going to move on. Amen. Now watch this.
Amen. Amen.
John, the fifth chapter, verse 24, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into what? Come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto." So those who still abide in death, that's the non-believers. Now those he's going to condemn. And they have to give an account for every thought, every word, Lord have mercy, and
everything.
And that's why their judgment is going to be in the eternity, meaning that time shall be no more. So all lost souls, Lord have mercy. You said it, doctor. From the beginning of the time since Adam and Eve, from the first soul that went down to the pits of hell, amen, all the way till the end of the thousand-year millennial reign.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lord have mercy. Ooh,
yes, sir.
Man, he's going to raise all those dead souls from hell, and he's going to judge every single last one. But I can only imagine that's going to take some time, even though time won't even exist anymore. But Lord, to go through every single second of everybody's life, God have mercy. You got to
Lord.
I tell folks, amen, doctor, I'd rather be at the Bema seat than the great white throne judgment. So if you find yourself, amen, at the great white throne judgment, man, it ain't going to end good for you.
It ain't good.
I don't want nothing to do with that. Amen. I don't want nothing to do with that, doctor. Amen.
Nothing.
Amen. So the result of the examination, that it is twofold result, a reward received or a reward lost for the church. Either you're going to receive a reward or you're going to lose a reward. That's it. That's all it,
That's all it is.
Ain't no need for him going over it. He died for the sin. So since you sin, I can't reward you on it. He's just going to go on. Amen. Because it's going to be trial by fire to determine whether one receives or loses a reward. Amen.
Yes.
Now watch this.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. First Corinthians, the third chapter. Let's go there real quick. Amen. I love this context. First Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 9 through 15. Amen.
Amen.
First Corinthians. Woo, this is deep, but I like this. This is good. Amen. Good examination of the scripture. Amen. Watch what Paul wrote. This is concerning the church. Amen.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is concerning those who have lived for God. Amen. Now watch me.
Mm-hmm.
First Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 9, says, "For we are laborers together with God.
Yes.
Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Amen. So in other words,
amen,
we are to do work and live our lives unto God. Amen. We are called to do a work, to do a job, and that's to save men's souls. Like the brother said, that's our job, especially at this day and time. We are to teach the truth, not hide the truth, not run away from it, but we are to share with the world and to warn the world that Christ is on his way back, and we are to be watching the return of Christ. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Watch what it says
in
verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed, well, here we go, how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is, amen, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Now, amen. If any man, watch what it said, if any man build upon this foundation,
Yes,
gold,
sir.
Silver, precious stones, wood, hay.
Come on.
Stuff.
Come on.
Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Amen. That's when you stand before the great Bema seat. Amen. The judgment seat of Christ. Because
yeah.
it shall be revealed by fire. So what you do, amen, he going to try it by fire. Fire purifies. Amen. That's what fire does.
Amen.
It purifies. Amen. So it says, and the fire shall try every man's work.
Every
of
man's
what it is. Amen. So whatever it is that you do, it's going to be tried by fire. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, meaning that if you have worked for Christ and you've done good things to the brethren,
yes.
to God Almighty, amen. He said he shall receive a what?
A reward.
A reward. Man, look at here.
Look
at
here.
You mean to tell me not only am I going to be raised from the dead, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, meaning that you're going to get a brand new body, and you're going to get to live for all eternity. But you mean every good deed that I do for Christ, I will get rewarded on? Every good word that
Lord,
you speak? Every good thought that you think? Every good deed that you do? Amen. He said, I got the reward.
Amen.
I'm all right with that. Amen.
I'm all right.
But watch what he said. He said, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
In other words, when he run it through the fire, there's some things it's gonna try and fire's gonna come through. You're gonna be rewarded.
Yeah.
But some things are gonna be what? Burned up.
Burned
he
up.
He shall suffer loss. But he himself, watch this, shall be saved.
Cool.
Yeah. So as by fire.
By fire.
Again, as the brother said, you can't lose your salvation. You're already saved. So the question of the Bema seat, you ain't going up to the final if you're going to heaven. Now, if you make it to the Bema seat, you already going to heaven. You're going to the Bema seat to see what rewards you're going to receive. You've already received the greatest reward, which is eternal life. You already received that here on earth when you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart in this life on
yes.
earth, in this flesh.
Yes.
Your salvation is received now, not when you get to heaven. Amen. If he raised you from the dead, if he called you up in the air to meet him, know that you've already saved. You've already done the word. You're already going to, you already have eternal life. Your eternal life ain't in the question if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You're already going to heaven. But like
yeah.
the brother said, amen, there's some folks just going to receive a crown. There's some folks that's going to receive eternal life, just a minimum reward. Like my brother said,
yeah.
he said, man, if I just make it in and just shine his toenail fall into, he was being funny, amen. But I had to laugh at it. I thought it was funny because he said, if I just make it in and just be shining his toenail for all eternity, he said, I'll be happy with that. And he's right because you know why? What he was basically saying, he was joking, but what he was basically saying, hey, at least I got in.
Yeah, come on.
I made it. That's what he was basically saying. I made it because there's going to be, Lord have mercy, it's going to be billions of people. Lord have mercy, that's not going to make it.
Yeah, ain't going to make it.
There's going to be so many souls that's going to miss the mark. They was in church.
Miss the mark.
They heard the sermon.
Miss
they
mark.
Heard the word. They thought it was a joke. You got pastors that are playing games. They ain't saved. They going to miss. But they have opportunity because they in church and they got the Bible sitting right in front of them. But because they
right
gaming
up.
People, taking money, amen, they after the booty and after the booty.
Come on,
and they going to miss. Amen, doctor. They gonna miss heaven because they are not concerned about, like you said, they're not concerned about men's souls. They don't have compassion. They don't have love. Amen. They after the money and they after the sex. That's exactly what they after. When I say they after the booty and they after the booty, amen. They ain't concerned about God. They're actually using
that title. I've seen it myself. I've seen it with my own. I've seen brothers, amen, abuse that title and use it to get over on women. I said, Lord, have mercy.
Come on,
and I'm talking about nice-looking women. I'm like, you fell for that? Unbelievable. Amen. But there are people that are just playing in church. They're using that title to get, oh, and you'll be surprised and shocked. Amen. How many women don't care about that title as use of pastor? They don't care about that. If they want you, they want you.
Yeah.
Amen. But you have to walk in the spirit. Amen. Say, hey,
yes, brother.
What do I have to gain or lose from this encounter? Amen.
Come on now.
You have to evaluate things because, amen, we're going to be just, we got to stand before Christ one day.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So when we receive our reward, like I was sharing with my son, brother, and I'm going to get ready to turn over to, like I was sharing with my oldest son. I was calling him just the other week. And I said, you know what? I was giving him an example of what's going to happen when we get caught up to heaven to meet Christ in the air. And we're going to stand before him in the air. Because remember, the numbers are going to also be standing up, but the earth and the heavens are going to flee. They're going to be standing out there in the universe, but we're going to be in the air, and we're going to be getting judged at the Bema seat. And I said, brother, I said, don't you remember when you graduated from school, when you was in school, and you walked through that ceremony? Hey, this is what this is. See, the Bema seat will be time for us. If we're going to have tears, we're going to have tears of joy, because though we're going to suffer loss, we still going to be happy that we just made it over. And the fact that, man, come on, doctor, you're going to be happy that you got eternal life. You ain't even got to your reward. You mean you love me so much that you give me eternal life?
For nothing.
Come on, doctor. I ain't do it. Christ died for my sin.
Please.
Ain't nothing Tim did. I was not even worthy. But because of his love,
his
grace, and his mercy, I have received salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And this is, amen, amen. And I just want to say this, amen. Once you receive your rewards, it's going to be tears of joy. You ain't going to be scared. You ain't going to be afraid. What did he tell John over in Revelation, the first chapter?
Yes, sir.
The first thing he said to John, the Bible said he reached out and touched John with his right hand. That's a sign of comfort. He just reached out because he wanted John to know, hey, it's okay. You're on my Lord God, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. He just wanted John to know, it's okay. You fought the good fight. We're not enemies. We're brothers. Amen. We're brothers.
Amen.
He touched John. Amen. He said, fear not. There's nothing for you to fear when you go to heaven. God ain't up there to run you up and down. He's glad that you receive salvation and that you get
to live with him
for all eternity.
Eternity.
God have mercy. Doctor, God bless you. Amen. Have a wonderful night. Amen. I'm going to still be listening for a little bit before I turn it in tonight.
All right.
Amen. But I will be on the air with you. Amen. If you can join me this Saturday, amen, I'll be back on. And I'll be with you on Sunday. Amen, brother. God bless you. But you know I'm going to call and talk to you. Amen.
Probably tomorrow night
or Friday. But I will be with you. Amen. Before the week is up. Amen, brother. I love you. I love this awesome opportunity, brother. Continue to tell them about the rapture. Amen. Thank you for sharing the cartoon with us. Amen. I tell you, man, they are playing. See, the elite know. They didn't sold their soul. They didn't blaspheme God, and they can't turn back. See, once you blaspheme God, that's it. Once you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved. See, to be an elite, to be a ruler of the world, on that level, to be one of the banking families, that's sign up for you to be free and have billions and trillions of dollars. You got to sell out all the way. Satan ain't gonna let you have that You can't get on that rank at the top of the pyramid and then you blast from the Holy Spirit. In other words, there ain't no coming back. So they can play games and put all this stuff and turn all this stuff in front of you, but this stuff is real. They know what's about to happen.
It's real.
But ain't no chance for them to get saved. Amen. Brother, I enjoyed you tonight. I can't wait to talk to you some more. God bless you, and you have a wonderful night, brother. Take it on
all
in.
Right.
God bless you.
Amen. We thank Brother Tim for giving us the word of God, especially on that, because we all were getting ready to go home. I've been on this for like 57 years. I've been preaching this word from Genesis to Revelation. I've been preaching it. I've been hollering, and I've been crying. I've been I've been concerned about the soul of individual soul. You only got one little soul, and that soul is headed for one or two destinations, either heaven or hell. You were made for God's glory. You were made for God. God created man for himself, not for the devil. He didn't create us for the devil to snatch us and take him to hell. We know that the devil is on his way to hell, and he don't want nobody to go to heaven. He knows there's a heaven. He was in heaven. He's seen God. He's seen the angels. He's seen the glory lights and the transportation system that's up there. Good God Almighty. Amen. See the galaxies and the quasars and the black hole. See the stars. Oh, my Lord. It's out of sight. Amen. And we want to let you know, don't go to hell, please. Accept Christ. Accept Christ. If you don't do nothing else in this world, if you don't do nothing else in this world, except Jesus Christ, that's your main reason you're here. You're made in the image and likeness of God, and God made you for himself, and he wants you to live with him forever, forever, and forever, and forever, and forever, eternity. And he made a way that you can escape the damnation of hell. Because I tell you, my friend, my brother, my uncles and my aunts, my dog and my cat, there is a place where is eternal punishment. It's made for the devil and his angel. And you don't want to follow after Satan. You don't want to mess with the devil. You mess with the devil and mess with the devil and live for the devil and do all your old low down dirty stuff and think you having fun. So much fun that you think you in heaven then, but you are not in heaven. The devil's preparing you to go to hell with him because he don't care nothing about you. He don't want you to live with God forever because he hates God. He hates God because he tried to overthrow the Creator. He tried to dethrone God. He tried to dethrone the one that created him. And he got a bad disappointment. He was dethroned and cast out like an abominable branch. The devil cannot be saved. He cannot enter the kingdom of God no more. And all the demons and devils and demigods and satyrs and nephilims and all these wicked spirits that's ancient, they're old as dirt. They're low down than dirt. They're lower than the lowest. And these entities and these demons are roaming the earth right now, 24/7. 365 times a year, every day, they're doing horrific things and tearing up things and ripping families apart and slaying teenagers and bringing diseases and pestilence up on the earth, canes and tornadoes and everything. He loves that kind of destruction, but he don't love nobody that goes to the cross. He don't love you, period. But if you go to the cross, you got an arch enemy of your soul. Satan said, if you go to the cross, I'm going to make sure I put everything on you. I'm going to make sure I turn you around. But let me tell you, he can't turn the saint of God around. you accept Jesus Christ right now in your life, the Lord will always be with you, although you may have to go through some difficult things in life. But if you accept Jesus Christ right now and you die, you will immediately go to heaven, just like that. Wham! That's easy. But people say, oh, it's hard because if I get saved, I can't do this and I can't do that. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You want to drink? You want to whoremonger? You want to lie? You want to cheat? You want to steal? You want to get your little cookies and have a whole lot of, is that what you want to do? And then after it's all over, what you got? You got destruction. You got AIDS. You got gonorrhea. You got all these venereal diseases and STDs. Yeah, I mean, you got HIV and CIV and all these different kinds of disease that you got. And when you get through drinking and your liver's gone and your heart's gone, what do you got? You ain't got nothing. So what do you mean, what I can't do, what I'm supposed to do? The best thing you can do is turn from sin. Turn from sin and degradation. And turn to the Holy One, Jesus Christ. And he will give you joy, unspeakable and full of glory. You will have a full assurance when you repent of your sin. Because let me see. Sin is worse than maggots. Sin is low down, dirty. And what you talking about? You can see all of these pretty women on TV jumping up and down and shaking their behind and doing all kind of little flips and stretching their legs open and the bosom is all out. You say, oh, that looks good, but that's low down. That's dirty. That's filthy. That's the devil's work. That's what the devil loves. And the devil will tell the individual, do all you can, man. I mean, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. They're saying, I don't care if I go to hell. My friends are going to be there. Well, you ain't going to have no friends in hell. None. You're going to be an enemy of yourself. You're going to hate yourself. If you go to hell, you're going to hate yourself. You're going to hate yourself because you refused. You rejected. You denied. You eliminated Christ in your life and said, I don't want it now. Wait till I get a little older and I'm going to see what I can, all I can do to satisfy my soul. Ain't nothing in this world can satisfy your soul like Jesus Christ. Nothing. And the world is saying, hey, I care less about it. But my friends, we're living in the last days. We're living in a time where the rapture can happen at any moment, but it's going to be a Pacific season that the rapture, when it does happen, is going to happen in a Pacific month and a Pacific day. Nobody knows the day or the hour the Son of Man come because there's a 24-hour time zone. So if Jesus Christ comes at 9 o'clock here, he'll come at 5 o'clock overseas, so no man can know the day or the hour, because if it's day over there, it might be night over here. It's a different day. So no man can say exactly what day it is. Only God knows exactly what time zone he's going to come back. And when he comes back, he's coming back in two phases. Get me now, to two phases. He's coming back to meet the church in the air. After the church is met in the air and we go to the judgment seat, he's coming to earth. Because at the rapture, he don't come to earth. He comes to first heaven. He comes out of heaven. And he comes out of heaven, he won't hit the earth. His feet won't touch the earth. Judgment of seat of Christ will take place in the air. And then after the seven-year tribulation, Christ is going to have his church all ready. Be going to the Lamb's Supper. And when we get to the Lamb's Supper, after the Lamb's Supper, the guest is going to come in. The Old Testament is going to come in. And at the end of the tribulation period, God's going to mount us up on white horses. Horses. White horses. And he's going to lead an army. And they're going to come within I don't know how long it would take for me, for God to get from here to heaven. Maybe a day, maybe a couple of weeks, whatever time it takes. But when he comes, the world's going to know exactly. Because when he comes, the first thing's going to happen, they're going to have a blackout. Everything's going to turn black. And then heaven's going to roll back like a scroll all the way back from the east to the west. Wide. You're talking about a wide. It's going to be wide. Cover the whole heavens. And Christ will appear in power and in great glory. And he, good God Almighty, and he shall come back with the saints of God. The saints of God will be the people of God, God's people. And God's people will be dressed in white, riding white horses, and Jesus Christ will be riding the lead horse. And in the book of Revelation, it shows you the return of Jesus Christ back to the earth. The 19th chapter of Revelation gives you the whole event of the second coming and the appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to what 19 and 11 said. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat up on him was called faithful and true. Is God faithful? Is he true? Yes. All the way from my cradle until this present day, God has been faithful to me. He's been faithful to you. Is he true? You talking about true? True is more than blue. Amen. God is true with his words. He is true with everything he said. And it says, and in righteousness, he does judge and make war. He's going to call the world war that will end all wars after the tribulation period. The tribulation period, the battle of Armageddon will take place in the valley of Megiddo. What is that valley? What is Armageddon? Armageddon is where all the armies around the world will make their abode in Jerusalem. They will come to this valley, planes, tanks, bombs, everything, all kinds of nuclear weapons. And they're going to meet Jesus Christ coming from what? The clouds. When he comes from the cloud, Jesus Christ is going to meet these armies at the Battle of Armageddon. Is there going to be a literally battle? Yes. The Bible verifies it. And one of our greatest generals of the 20th century verified it. General W. MacArthur, after World War II, after the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki that ended World War II, General W. MacArthur went out on the USS ship Missouri in Tokyo Bay and signed a Declaration of Peace. And he made a speech. And the speech was consisted of him saying that if we don't find a more equitable way to settle our difference, and get along with each other on this planet, the next battle that we will fight is the Battle of Armageddon. And buddy, he was dead right, because that battle is going to make the final finale to show the world that the world governments, the world armies, the world economic system is wicked. And God, through his son Jesus Christ, is going to come back from heaven and fight the battle of Armageddon. And here's what Jesus looked like when he come back. Listen, his eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written. No man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, what armies? The church, the Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints, the armies which were in heaven followed him up on white horses. Everybody is going to ride from heaven on white horses. Woo, hallelujah, praise God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. He will be dressed in white. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of his fierce and wrath of the Almighty. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Oh, a wonderful name. A name that is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the return of Jesus Christ with the church from heaven. And when he comes from heaven, it will conclude at the battle of Armageddon, in which Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, the old dragon, the snake, will gather these armies around the world to try to prevent Jesus Christ from setting up his millennial kingdom, and they're going to lose. They're going to lose. The armies of the world are going to lose. And the blood will be so much that the valley will be filled with blood 200 square miles. It will be so full that it will go up to the horse's bridle. Lord, Hammer, that's a lot of blood, because the Lord is going to slew them with the spirit of his mouth. My friends, let me tell you something. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. You need Jesus Christ in your life, or otherwise you're going to miss it. You're going to see the destruction of this planet, and you're going to be on it. You're going to be on it one reason. You refuse to accept Christ. And if you die before the tribulation, you're going to miss Christ. You're not going to even be to live with him. You may get a glimpse of it, and that's it. Don't be a fool. Don't let the devil take you to hell, please. Don't let him take you. Don't let him suck and jive you. Don't let him voodoo you. Don't let him hoodoo you. Don't let him put no whammy on you. Come to Christ. You're born a sinner. You're living in sin. You need to repent and be sorry with a contrite spirit, broken up. You can't take no more. You can't take no sinning against a holy, righteous, loving, long-suffering, merciful, kindness God and do him like that. He requires that you receive his son, Jesus Christ. He made preservations for you to come to him. When he got up from the grave on the first, third day morning, with all power in heaven and earth to save your soul, the only thing you've got to do is tell him to come on in. And I tell you one thing, if you got a repentant spirit, he'll come on in. And when he come in, you'll know about it. The Bible says you will know that you have passed from death to life because you love the brethren. You love the brethren. You know that you say, why? Because I love everybody. I just love everybody. I don't hate nobody. That's the love of God. The love of God don't have no it's a little schism in it. Love is God is pure. And Jesus Christ is the only one that got that pure love. And the world right now is getting ready for war. The Middle East is getting ready for war. China, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Egypt. These nations are getting ready for war. They're planning for World War III, and it will lead into the tribulation period. And from then on, it will lead into judgment that will come upon the earth. 28 judgments. You hear what I said? 28 judgments in the book of Revelation. 28 judgments will strike this earth like never before. There's seven judgments that the Bible in Revelation wouldn't even name, called seven thunders. Seven thunders. John was getting ready to write it, and the angel said, write not the seven thunders. I don't know what the seven thunders are, but let me tell you, it's horrific. It's terrifying. It's a fright night. It's going to be a seven-year tribulation of judgment and a seven-year tribulation of the gospel being preached by the Jewish people. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't just go to church. Make sure you know Christ. And then you can go. And then you can enjoy yourself. But if you're not saved today, you need Jesus Christ in your life. That's the only way that God can be pleased with you. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. For God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. The Bible said, broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many go in therein. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and very few will find it. The world is in a mess, and it's only going to get better after the seven-year tribulation, where the millennium reign of Jesus Christ will begin. Christ will come back to this earth and set up the millennial kingdom and rule it with a rod of iron, a theocracy government where God is the only ruler. Satan will be put in the bottomless pit at the end of the tribulation period. And all his wicked angels and demons and demigods and satyrs and Nephilim will be put in a place of the bottomless pit, and they will not be able to deceive the world no more until after the 1,000 years. And the devil, from that point on, will try one more try to defeat God's purpose. And that's called the battle of Gog and Magog at the end of the 1,000 years. The 1,000 years will at least, it will last 1,000 years. Men will be able to live 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 years. They live 1,000 years without seeing too much death. There won't be no hospitals or wars, nothing. There won't be nothing but peace. So much peace that the animals laid together. So much peace so the children would play with cocks twice dead, play with serpents. The lion will lay down with the lamb, and the wolf will not hurt the lamb. It will be a peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. For 1,000 years, no more wars, no more killing and murdering and raping, no more jailhouses, no more sane asylums, no more strikes, no more killing, no more raping, no more whorehouses, no more beer joints. Woo! Good God Almighty! It'll be peace in the valley one day. Always howling. Holly, holly, good God Almighty, never, 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 never goodbye. No more seas or oceans to separate land from land. God is going to renovate the earth and make a new heaven and a new earth. a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven, the old earth is passed away. Behold, everything is new. We'll be able to live on and on and on. Never, never, never die. No funeral, no hospital, no prison house, no sane asylums, no alleys, no earthquakes, no pestilence, no disease, nothing but love and peace and harmony and praising God forevermore. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You can miss the football game. You can miss your mom and your daddy. You can miss a whole lot of things going through this life, but let me tell you, don't miss heaven. God made a way. Free. Heaven is free. What to pay a dime. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is what sets you free. Faith says, I can't see it, but I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, God's son, God himself, suffered himself, resurrect himself, talked to himself, went back to heaven by himself. He don't need my help. I need his help. And I'm so glad that he loves me. And I know if he loved me, he loves you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's too wonderful. And the devil knows it's too wonderful. And the devil knows. He knows. And what do he know? He knows that he cannot be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb cannot redeem the devil. Because the devil was a created spirit and he knew right from wrong when he was created. Man was created, made in innocent. But man now has the choice to choose. Is it Lucifer or is it Christ? And the world said, give me Lucifer. And he ain't got nothing. Not a dime. You come in this world with nothing, and when you leave, you're going to leave with nothing. You ain't never seen no U-Haul go to the graveyard in the back of the hearse. You ain't never seen nobody dump all his furniture, all his money, all his bank account in the grave. You ain't never seen nobody get in the grave with it, because when you leave this world, you will leave with nothing. But one thing you better leave with. You better leave with Jesus Christ. Because if you don't leave with Jesus Christ, hell certainly will be your own. And Brother Bazaar do not want you to be lost. Apostle Paul said, if you will confess with your mouth, if you will believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that God himself raised himself from the dead and came out of the grave with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. And he can save little old me, little old pitiful me. If he can save me, little old tiny, any bitty little small insect, a grasshopper, and he can save me from sin, he can save you and the whole world in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. But you got to want Jesus Christ before you can get saved. You got to want him. You got to want to turn from sin. And you want to show God that I love you for what you did for me. You took my place on Calvary. He took my place on Calvary. Why? Because he knew ain't no righteous man on this planet can die for himself and resurrect himself and ascend into heaven on himself. Can't do it. Never have and never will be done. Only Jesus. Not Mohammed, not Buddha, not Shintoism, Taoism, Judaism, Schism, Hindu, Voodoo, all your cult religions, all your denomination religions cannot save their soul, their self. It takes Jesus and Jesus alone. So why don't you come tonight? We'll give you a little time to think about it. And then we're going to take you to the altar. Take you to the altar and let you think on what Apostle Paul is saying here. Apostle Paul said, Romans 10:9, that's the scripture in the Bible that tells you if thou shalt confess with your mouth, what? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. S-A-V-E-D, period. Ain't nothing happened. Then he said, be saved and stop drinking, stop smoking. Not doing all that. No, he said, you're a sinner whether you don't do that or not. But what he wants to do is save your soul. Save your soul, and as you grow in Christ, you begin to lay aside all that old stuff that you've been doing because it's not pleasing in God's eyesight, and it won't be pleasing to your eyesight. You're a child of God. For with thine heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you believe on the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, you ain't going to be ashamed of nobody. Why? You know how you was before you got saved. And now you got joy unspeakable and full of glory. You got something the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. Don't miss out on this great salvation that was once delivered unto the saints of God. Don't miss out. There's no guarantee you anywhere that you're going to be here tomorrow. You could die right now. You could die in the morning. You can die tomorrow morning. You can die before the first of the year. But if you die, don't die without Christ. Don't die without Christ. Don't. I can't take you to hell and show you. I can't express hell, what hell will like in a million years. But I tell you one thing, it is a painful judgment to have to pay for your own sins. Sin is death, and death means to be separated from God. If you separated from God now and don't know his son Jesus Christ and you die, you're going to be separated forever. Now is the time. Now is the day. Now is the minute to accept Jesus Christ. Lord, you can say this, Lord, I am a sinner and I am sorry for my sins. Father, I confess with my mouth and plead with my heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. For my salvation through him, I can receive it right now and ask the Lord Jesus in a repentant spirit to come into your life and abode there forever. For he said, I will never.